Jesus pulls back the curtain, and he does, and you're going to see it in his words as we work our way through them. Things aren't always as they seem, and most of you have experienced that and know that, but two brothers were left alone in the kitchen, young brothers, and the older brother pulled the egg carton out of the refrigerator. He told his little brother, I'll give you $5 if you'll let me break three of these eggs over your head, just making a deal. The little brother said, you promise? And kind of gave him that little brother look. And the older brother says, I absolutely promise. Then he pulled out one egg and broke it over his brother's head. It oozed down through his hair and ran down his face like an egg would do. Then he pulled out the second egg and broke it over his brother's head. This one was really messy. It went all the way down the back of his neck and inside his shirt collar. Just a mess. After the second one, the little brother braced himself because he knew the third one was coming. And it's going to be nasty. And he waited and he waited and he waited, but the third egg never came. Finally, he spoke up, hey, when's the third egg coming? Finally, the older brother told him, it's not. If I broke that one over your head, it cost me $5. I don't know if you had a big brother, but there's parts of it that's not cool. Things are not always as they seem. Jesus really pulls back the curtain today. In understandable ways. So I'm excited for you to hear his words and begin to understand them. Let's pray. Lord, thanks that we can be in this place and be together with friends. And thank you for what you did last week on Sunday. So cool to see people step forward to publicly declare, I believe in Jesus. I trust him as my Savior. And I'm willing to say it out loud in front of people. How cool is that? Lord, thank you for what you're doing in CR, and may we just be faithful to the task to provide help for people that hurt and to encourage them and bring them along slowly and lovingly and carefully. So Jesus, we welcome you into this room as we do every week. We want you to lead our life. We want to feel your love, but more importantly than that, we want to give our love back to you. And we want it to be sincere. We want it to be real. We want it to be deep. We want you to sense and feel our devotion, even though we know we fail regularly. We really do love you. We really do appreciate you. So, Lord, help us in that pursuit. Encourage us today through your word. Thank you for leaving it for us to study, to understand, to be encouraged by. So bless us now by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, for those of you who are new with us, we're in a series entitled Journey with Jesus. And we're working our way chronologically through his life in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And kind of taking it step by step, event by event, episode by episode. And certainly taking our time through it. And as we examine what happened and what he said and how people reacted to what he said, our hope is that not only you'll get to know Jesus better, most certainly, and the facts of his life, and but in some ways you'll be able to jump into the emotion of who he was as best we can this side of history. And we want to get you to a place where you desire deep in your heart to follow him. Not just believe in him. Believing in him is first step. We're going to see that today. But where you come to a point in your life where you say, I want to be close to him more than anything. I want to try to make him as best I can in my life to be the love of my life, which is work. It doesn't just happen. It's not a snap decision. It's part of following him. The greatest thing you can ever do in your life is to love him with all your mind, your heart, and your soul and spirit. It is certainly the greatest command. Now, as most of you know, we're in the last week of his life now. We've worked our way here over the last couple of years, and he's being upfront with what's going to happen. He has been, and he's going to be again today. And many just aren't able to understand it, that he's talking to as he tells them face to face. It's just too much for him to take, apparently. It's sort of like the gospel message for so many today, if you think about it. I mean, the gospel message can be given in about a sentence, what it is and what it does. I know there may not be a lot of details, but so many come to it and they say, well, there has to be more than that, than just believe, Jim. Come on, that can't be enough. How often, whether people say it or not, do they think that? God will be fair with me if I'm a good guy. Hey, he kind of has to be. I mean, so many people that live up and down our blocks think that. They really do. If it were that simple, Jim, your gospel message, then everybody would just do it. Attempting to complicate it. It's not much different. It's a different side of history, but it's not much different. It goes on all the time in the minds of people. Last week, Jesus laid out his plan. My death for you, right? Somebody's having fun on the bricks. Or a parent's going to come in and go, we got a scratch. Hopefully it's fun. And now I just messed up all the women in the room. Smart. The guys are thinking they'll be fine. We are so different. Last week, Jesus told you and me that you cannot love the world and me at the same time. You have to make a choice. He's pretty dramatic about it. Then he went on to say, if you want to serve me, you have to follow me. You can't serve me without following me. It can't happen. So today, again, Jesus pulls back the curtain for us. Number one, there in your notes, let's jump in so I can get you out of this toasty room before 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon. I always wonder if somebody's new with us. What do they think I really mean that? First off, number one, Jesus faced deep emotions like us. I love this. This is so cool about who Jesus is. And that we get to know about him. He feels like you and me. I mean, emotions. He gets us is one of the messages here. He knows emotional pain, just like we do. When you have to bury your mom or your dad. When you have to place them in a home that nobody wants to experience as you get older in life. Oh, the pain of all that for everybody. This is another side of the cross that we don't always talk about. But he understood, because he's God and man at the same time, he understood what was coming. The shame of bearing the sin of the world. He knew that was headed at him. The very pain of the torture of the cross. I don't know what it's like to get beat within an inch of my life, and I don't want to learn. I don't know what it's like to have a nail pierce my skin, and I don't want to know. I can only imagine, as you can. He knew that was coming. Look at John 12:27. Pick it up there as we move our way through his life. Now he says to the crowd, my soul is troubled. Now the word troubled there means to be agitated or to stir up. It means to shake up, to be unsettled, to be upset. The same word in John 14 where he says to the guys during the Last Supper, after he tells them, look, I'm going to die. We're going to get to that in a few months, I guess, whenever it comes. And he says, look, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be stirred up. He says, believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come back to get you and bring you to where I am, trying to give them confidence in what they were going to face. Well, he says right here, my soul is troubled. Because he knew what was coming. This is ugly, ugly stuff. And he goes on to say, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? This phrase is linked together clearly. And he immediately answers his own rhetorical question. For the public to understand, for us to understand. He says, no. No way, Jose. I'm not, well, he didn't say that, but you get the point. I don't know why I do that stuff. I'm not here for myself, is what this statement says. And we face this statement in our own way, over and over in our life. Who are you here for, really? And we get to decide. Doesn't mean Jesus doesn't want you to take care of your life, manage it well, be responsible with it as best you can. But you really got to decide at the bottom line, what are you here for? What's your purpose in life? What if everything you wanted really came true? How would other people be served by it? How would God be impacted by it? Not that it's really going to happen, but you get the point. Let's go on. So he says, no, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. I'm here to do what the Father assigned me to do. I'm going to show up. Even though my soul is troubled, I am terrified of what I face in his humanness. He says in verse 28, so Jesus looks to heaven and prays. Maybe that's a sign for us that when our heart's troubled, agitated, stirred up, we should stop trying to fix everything and solve everything because we think that's always the answer. Maybe we ought to look to the heavens and say, Father, he says, glorify your name. This is what I want more than anything, even if it means my death and my torture and my suffering. These are bold statements made by him. Jesus was willing to do anything to honor his Father. He was willing to do anything and face anything to glorify him. And there's a message here for us if we're willing to listen. You know, I'm not saying that isn't hard to take. Because we like a life that is without pain, physically or emotionally. That's our truth. But that isn't the real life that I live. Remember a few weeks ago I said life something, an S word? Some of you got upset because I repeated it. But it's the truth. And you all know it. Number two. So God unleashes that booming voice for the third time here, at least with Jesus in mind. Now, I'm not sure exactly what happens when you pray, but this is special. What takes place now is not normal when Jesus looks to heaven and says, Father, glorify thy name. Look what happens when Jesus prays, verse 28. It says, then, boom, at that point, a voice came from heaven. Now, you know, I spent a couple of hours trying to figure out how to do this, and it would have been such a loser I didn't bother. But I really did, and it was a waste of 2 hours, but at least I want you to know I put some effort forth. Just try to imagine, if you will, a voice from God from above, thundering and just dominating, overpowering. It certainly has a lot of bass in it. We got the subwoofers to do what I wanted, and I couldn't find it. And I'm not going to do some lame thing with my little voice. Come on. Looked stupid like I just did. But here's the point. It would have totally shocked people. Nobody expected this. Nobody expected this. A voice from heaven is mentioned 16 times in the Bible from cover to cover. Three times, this is the third time for Jesus. The first was at his baptism. The second was at the Mount of Transfiguration, affirming that God the Father was pleased in his Son out loud. Nobody saw him, but they heard him. They heard him. I mean, Peter and the boys probably were a little bleached out by that whole experience, but that's another story. Now the third time right here. The Father confirming his approval again with what was about to happen. And here's what he says, this voice thundering from heaven. He says, I have glorified it. Well, what does that mean? Voice from heaven. It simply means that he's been glorified, the Father, through the life and ministry of Jesus while on earth. It has happened, clearly. We've lived it the last 2 years, week after week after week here. And then he says, and will glorify it again through the death and sacrifice of his Son in just a couple of days. That's what he means there. The voice of the Father shows that he heard and he answered his prayer. And confirming what was to come. Not just from Jesus and his words, but the Father as well, booming down from heaven. In a way that only he could do. Verse 29 goes on, the crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Well, I think so. I could have had thunder in here and I thought about it, but doggone it, it would have been token. Totally overwhelmed by the voice. And there were witnesses. This isn't just one guy telling the story. This is a crowd that heard it. its power. Nothing like it had they ever probably heard before. Others said an angel had spoken to them, some trying to explain it away. And people will always try to explain spiritual impact away, no matter how little or how big. They'll find an excuse. When the rapture happens and most of us in this room are gone, I would like all of us to be gone, but that's another story. Somebody will explain it away. When planes crash and cars crash and stuff happens around the culture, they'll say, well, somebody will just explain it away. That's what man does to supernatural events. Most didn't understand what the voice said and what it meant at all. They heard it. They were overwhelmed by it, stunned by it, shocked by it. They certainly did not put two and two together here. That they just heard God the Father speak and just bow down to Him. That wasn't their response. That this Jesus right in front of them was the Messiah, is my Son. Because He didn't say that, but that's what He was saying. He has glorified me and He will glorify me. And just listen to Him. That He can change your life forever. Now, He didn't say those words, but the impact of this should have happened in that way. And Jesus tells us with clarity, number three, this voice was to produce faith and belief. Everything has a purpose, folks, whether you understand it or I do or not. Jesus explains why the voice came and why the Father spoke out loud, which I love. He's teaching you the Bible, history. He's going to tell you why. I don't need to tell you. Verse 30, Jesus said to the folks that just heard the voice from heaven, this voice from heaven and loud thundering was for your benefit. So why did it happen? Why did God do it? It was for them. He says, not mine. I didn't need my dad to speak. I didn't need it. It was offered to encourage the faith of the people, to build their faith, to produce confidence in them, to push them to believe, to give them an attaboy, to say, yes, you are in the right place. Nobody else can do. A Pharisee can't make this happen, even though whatever they claim to be and do. Huge stuff. Number four, next, Jesus announces victory through death. Again, He's pulling back the curtain here, folks, if you want to see the truth. Remember, the context is all about the cross. Jesus talked about what He'd faced and that He was troubled. He prayed to the Father, and the Father thundered back. Now Jesus talks about what the cross would accomplish, what it would produce, what it would bring about. He just explains it so we can understand. Again, He's pulling the curtain back. Verse 31, now is the time. Well, what does that mean? Well, it's God's appointed time in all of history, previous and future. This is it. Now is the time for judgment on this world. It's going to happen at a point of time. The world refers to the worldly system that stands in rebellion against God. I don't think I have to sell you on that fact, that the world has a tendency, we have a tendency to rebel against God and want what we want, not what He wants. It comes by us naturally. The idea is the cross will bring judgment on the world system for all time, past, present, and future. And He goes on to describe this judgment. And He says, now the prince of this world will be driven out, destroyed. Judgment will be powerfully impact him based on what's happening this day. Judgment will be also delivered to the evil one. And this means Satan himself. This goes back to Genesis chapter 3, where he'll wound my foot and I'll strike him in the head. The whole picture of dealing with sin, that forgiveness becomes available through the judgment and the freedom that is offered through the cross of Christ. Oh, to understand that. Verse 32, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, what does this mean? Well, when I'm crucified, and they would have all understood this, will draw all people to myself. What does this mean? Well, salvation will now be available to every man, woman, and child. Doesn't mean that every man, woman, and child will be saved, but it's available. Based on what He did at the cross, when He is lifted up, He says, I will draw all people to myself. Verse 33, He says, He said this to show the kind of death He was going to die. So Jesus simply explains what's going to happen. Again, He's pulling back the curtain for anybody that wants to really understand. anybody and everybody. These are really vivid descriptions of what he's going to do, of what's going to happen, and how it's going to happen. He just explains it to each of us, to them. In reality, as we've seen before, number five, the people, they still wanted things their way. Oh, this is the struggle of life, folks, for every one of us. We want things to be our way. It's who we are. Even when it's explained to us where it can be understood, we want things our way. This is something we all struggle with, and it's not going to stop now. The truth for these folks is they had a hard time listening to what he was saying. They just had a difficult time. They weren't willing to accept what he said, that the Messiah was going to die, because it's not what they wanted. How do we know this? Well, look at verse 34. The crowd spoke up after hearing what Jesus said. The voice from heaven, all this good stuff, definition, clarity. The crowd said, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever." They assumed the Messiah would destroy their enemies and set up his kingdom, as we've talked about a number of times. That's what they wanted. So they assumed that would be what happened. And they wanted it done immediately. Not later, but now. Wipe out the Romans. Give us our land back, flowing with milk and honey. That's all we want. We want to be taken care of. If you'll just take care of me, everything will be fine. Everything will be fine. By the way, that's exactly what Jesus will do when he comes back again. But they didn't want to wait. And how often do we find ourselves in a place where we really don't want to wait? I want it now, and I want it the way I want it. We don't say that out loud, but it's what we think. It's who we are. And to it's like what Brené Brown says about shame. Once you give shame a voice, because we all have some things we're ashamed of, and once you give it a voice, then the shame loses its power. Once you admit to who you really are, and you stop being afraid of it, Jesus can heal it. He can add to you. Was that too much for you? Did I go too philosophy on you? You okay? Let's go on. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? These are the folks talking back to Jesus, who's just made some pretty bold proclamations. So they're saying, in essence, what kind of nonsense is this? And they're saying this in a mocking way, by the way. That's not the Messiah we want. We don't want you to be crucified. And then they go on to say, who is this Son of Man? Which tells us they didn't know he was talking about himself. Do you understand all that he's said up to this point over and over again for the last almost 3 years? Everybody knew what this guy was. Why do you think he got killed? Because of what he proclaimed. They just wouldn't listen to him. It's like most of society today. They won't listen to him. All you've got to do is start listening to him and let him change your life. Him. I can't do it. Your mama can't do it. Your husband or wife can't do it. Only Jesus can. They weren't getting what they wanted. They wanted a conquering Messiah. And just before we move on, what do you want? What do you really want in life? What do you do when you feel dissatisfied over this or that? You fill in the this or that. What do you do? It happens sometimes when we have a lot. What do you do when you don't get what you want? That's what these people were doing. They didn't submit. They didn't say, oh my, and sit back and accept what God was trying to offer them. That leads us to number six. Now, Jesus gives a final call to believe. Even after they refused to listen to him, and that's what we've witnessed here in these words, they didn't believe what he told them. After hearing a voice from heaven, which is pretty extraordinary, pretty cool, let's call it what it is. Rejection. I'm not on your team, Jesus. Not team Jesus here. You're not enough for me, for us. We want more. We want a different Messiah. We want the conquering Messiah. Check it out. What would happen if everybody went against you right here, right now? Just see ya. Most of us, if we tell the truth. Jesus, on the other hand, he says, I want you. After being slammed, I want you. He continues to woo them. He comes at them to believe. He also, by the way, inserts a warning while he's wooing. Because that's what Jesus does. Because he tells the truth. What are we talking about? Look at verse 35. Then Jesus told them, after all this dialogue, speaking of his death, certainly, over and over again, you are going to have the light, referring to himself as the light of the world, just a little while longer, referring to the small amount of time he had left on earth. And here's what he says, interestingly, and you've got to understand this historically, who he's talking to. He says, walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Now you got to understand, back when there was no light available at night, they only walked during the daylight. That's the only way it would be safe from wild animals, from robbers and thieves. Nighttime was dangerous. People traveled and walked only in the daytime back then because there were no street lights. There were no headlights. There were no lights that would go on your forehead. And he's saying, take advantage of the light while you have it. Jesus tells those who are willing to listen, make your move and make it now. This might be your last chance. Now, he didn't add all those words, but that's what he's saying. He goes on in verse 36. He says, believe in the light while you have the light. I'm in the room. I'm right here. He's saying, come on, guys, trust me. Find me. Listen to me and do it now. Now. Why? Why? So that you may become children of light. It's an offering to people who are rejecting him. It's amazing. Most people would drop the mic and walk off the stage if everybody was railing at him. Not Jesus. Not the Jesus that you love and that you've believed in. He says, become children of life. The result will be a forever relationship with me. The result will be that you join my family forever. And you do it at that point, when you become a child of the light. He goes on, when he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. It's as if things changed and changed radically at that moment in time. The opportunity for the people that were listening, that heard him tell them what was going to happen, that heard a voice from heaven, was enormous. This is the beginning of a final call to unbelievers. It's not going to happen again, this side of the cross where they're at. This opportunity that he's given right here would pass. Jesus is asking the folks to respond to him, to become children of the light while they can, and don't wait. So, if you, wherever you're at, I don't know all of you, I know most of you, but I don't know all of you. If you're sitting on the sidelines, faith-wise, sort of peeking over the fence, and that's you and you know it. If you're waiting for some sign to get your attention and make you believe. If you're looking for a reason to move your life towards Jesus, and you need something real, let the words of Jesus seal the deal. Right here, right now. It may never get better than this. Let the words of Jesus get you to sign faith-wise. Because you can. Every one of you in the room. Verse 36 says, believe in the light while you have the light so that you may become children of the light. Let Jesus pull back the curtain for you. Now, what do we learn? A couple of things. Number one, first of all, let God's voice from heaven impact you. Let it challenge your thinking a little. You know, a truth from the scripture ought to, this is different. We'd never experienced this. I never will. I don't expect to. I mean, he could. I mean, right now I could say, God, could you speak from heaven? And let's say something really happened. I thought about having something planned for right here, right now, but I thought that's too corny. But it would have been cute. You would have enjoyed it. But he really did speak. There really were people that were impacted by what he said. If you have serious doubts, if you have struggle believing, let the voice impact you. This is at a minimum tells us some things that Jesus was extraordinary and special. Not that we haven't pointed that out. There were lots of witnesses. It happened 3 times. He was his son. If you're looking for something to push you over the edge, faith-wise, on believing, let the voice from heaven hit you. Let it. This really is a big deal. Number two, we're tempted to want things our way. Now, this is not news. I know that, but it's part of what he talked about. It's just the way it is. This is what keeps us, folks, from following Jesus. This is what keeps us from loving him all out. It can keep us from believing, and I get that. These folks stayed a step away. They wouldn't believe because they wanted a different Messiah. Once we trust the Messiah, we still battle with this. We still want things the way we want them to be. And you know that. I'm not informing you of anything. But it's what holds back our ability to follow fully. And that's what you want for you. It is the best place for us to be. It's the most productive, and it's the most impactful. If we begin to see Jesus the way we ought to, for who he really is, it's a total game changer. And that's what we're pursuing, not only in this series, but in our life. He would become the love of your life if you could see him for all that he is and listen to his words and just be overwhelmed by them. And it's a beautiful thing. Number three and last, no good reason to not be a child of light. I double dog dare you to come up after service and give me 3 valid reasons to not become a child of light. Double dog. Because you can't. You may have some for you if you're a rejecter of God that makes sense to you, but not. There's no good reason. You can't come up with a good reason. There's so much offered by him that is beyond this world in terms of eternal life. Jesus asks you and me directly in these verses to be aware that he's made himself available, that he wants us to believe in him, to have eternal life, to be a child of light. That's what he wants. And the truth is, that's what you want more than anything. And if you're here and you don't believe, there's probably an urge in your heart right now that you go, you know, I hear what you're saying, Jim, and I think I want that. And I want it now. I can't make the choice for you. Only you can. Come on. Now, take a step. Join up with him. Become a part of his family. And let him in. Jesus said out loud in front of a large group of people months ago that I am the light of the world. And anybody who believes in me shall live even though they die. Descriptive form of eternal life. Let Jesus pull back the curtain for you. Watch this, and then I'll pray, and we're done. Turn it up.
In the very beginning, before any Christmas bells ever rang, and the earth was new, the world spun quietly in the dark. Until finally, the first words ever spoken declared, "Let there be light." And so it was that the light was born. It pushed back all that black, and God saw that it was good. People lived in the light till one day a bit of darkness slithered into their life and offered a choice to know both light and dark. The hook was set and the people bit. That was the day the light became a fire, burning between the people and their God. For many years, the light burned hotter, resting on special people in special times to guide the way through darkest nights. Till one day, the light was given to a man who turned into a nation meant to keep the fires of God burning. Like a city on a hill, shining out light in the dark for lost travelers. But over time, the lights went out. All were hidden under bushels. And once again, the darkness swarmed in, and the people made for light were lost. Lost in the dark. Till one day, God gave a new light, one that came not as a rising sun or fire blazing, but in the body of a child. All the light and heat and life of God given to pierce the darkness. The child would be called Jesus, and he would be the light of the world, becoming the path back to God. But not all would choose to receive his light. As time marches on, humans still search for light today. Some seek prestige, others joy. They all desire the days of youth, while the frailty of age take hold. The young long for love in broken relationships. This is the life in the dark, what the people of earth know all too well. What if this Jesus could truly set things right by stepping out of the heavens and down to earth? He emptied himself of majesty, no longer sitting on a throne, but laid in a manger as a sign that the love of God would be a display of sacrifice, not of force. Jesus would end the chapter in the history of darkness and show the world that in him all is bright.
You bow your heads with me if you could. Father, thank you that you can touch our hearts. Thank you that we can be confident that you love us and that you've offered us a way to be in heaven forever and ever. You've provided the forgiveness. You've made the way clear. May every person in this room simply respond, even through the struggles of a real life, and just say, Jesus, I want you. And I want you now. Lord, as we see truth, as we understand more and more of it, may we be sensitive and caring and loving and respectful with it. But may we tell the truth to the people we love the most. And may they hear and see the sincerity on our lips from our hearts about how desperately and deeply we want them to trust Jesus. And may we lead the way in following you. Thank you for truth displayed. Thank you, Jesus, for your words that really can be understood. May we simply respond to the best of our ability. And thank you more than anything for loving us, not only through the cross, but even now, as we still want what we want, and you love us anyway. Lord, help us to follow and to follow well. We pray in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for being here. Thank you.